everybody, and welcome to the specialist episode of Grey's Academy, because we're in the same room.
I see you.
Here we are, together. I am one of your co-hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and it is, I would say, a beautiful day, but it kind of sucks outside.
It's a little dreary.
Little dreary, but it is still a beautiful day to podcast and talk to you guys about Grey's Anatomy. And we're looking at the Grey's Anatomy book right now.
That's true. We have it. It's 3 pounds.
Yes, exactly.
You have the map. Full pounds.
So, you guys, before we jump into this actual full episode, we have been together for four days.
Friday morning, and it is now Monday afternoon. So, yeah.
A long ass time in podcast time. That's like 6 years.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about all the things we've accomplished.
We've been so productive.
We got together with a designer for a new logo.
Yeah.
Check.
Potential merch design as well.
Yes. We did so many pictures.
Yes, we did a lot of like promotional content so that we can move forward with building the website.
We did comedic videos.
Yes.
At least one for sure, but potentially two.
Yeah.
And we did a full hour of Patreon for the Disney one.
Mm-hmm.
We did
another Patreon video.
A rewatch Patreon of the first pilot, the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Which is going to have video on Patreon. And now we're doing this in person.
Yeah.
And we both watched the episode this weekend.
We did.
And in addition to that, we ate steaks.
And sushi. And chicken.
And the chicken.
And we just had a delightful casserole.
It's true.
We had pancakes yesterday.
Eggs. So, like, yeah, we've really have done a lot. The only thing we haven't done. Oh, speaking of nonstop, did I tell you in this interview that I had, I referenced Hamilton. I said, you know, much like Hamilton, everywhere I've been, I've tried to not throw away my shot, something like that. And he's like, nice. So I think I'm in. But yeah, we didn't eat all of our candy. So like
we
also
did not. Only because I left it in the basement.
Yeah.
Because also, I really would have. Thanks. Yes. I really would have eaten it last night if it had been more easily accessible. But I was like, it's a sign that it's in the basement and I'm not meant to eat this at 2 a.m.
That's fair.
The only thing we have not done a lot of this weekend is sleep.
We did take
some naps, which was
naps
nice.
Yesterday. I got a quick nap today. We slept in.
I did sleep in today.
Did you?
There was no sleeping in any other day.
Comparatively to what you're experiencing at home on a regular basis.
Yeah.
A little bit of sleeping in.
Well, also a little bit of sleeping in because it's an hour behind here.
Right.
But also a lot of staying up too late. So
that's
it balances out.
That's fair. Yeah. We were up until at least 1 o'clock every night.
Yeah.
At least.
We sometimes make poor choices.
You know what we didn't do, though? We didn't play Catan once out of respect for Michael. I think that was probably the best choice.
Yeah, he would have lost his mind if we played Catan.
Yeah.
He wasn't here.
I was tempted to send a picture to Michael and say, you'll never guess what we're doing right now in the Honeymooners chat. But I didn't. I didn't do that. So anyways, it's just been so great. If you are listening to this episode and you've been thinking about joining the Patreon and it's like, I don't know if it's the content for me. Just know that you're wrong, and it is the content for you. We do actually have, speaking of, we have a shout out. We have a new Patreon patron, right?
Mm-hmm. Allison,
shout out.
Woo-hoo!
She's very far behind, though, so this is going to be a while before she hears this.
Yeah.
I was messaging her on Instagram. She has a picture of a bass that she's playing in her profile picture. Retired teacher for 33 years. And she's like, I just love playing bass and listening to your podcast. And I'm like, you are great.
Vibes.
That is vibes.
We also got several emails since the last recording.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
From Tess in Middle Tennessee. So practically my neighbor.
Tess, shout out.
And she said many nice things, but I'm going to read this part, my favorite part. I figured it was about time for me to send you a message and let you know how much I have loved listening to your show. I also love that you guys talk about other things and have your little tangents. I am not a Clara. Which makes me laugh every time I read it. So funny. We talk about a lot how we should probably lay off, because if Clara ever actually continues to listen, that she might find us and murder us.
Yeah. She could come around. She could say, I want to like this podcast.
And now I do.
In which case, we'll welcome you with open arms, Clara.
We'll take it all back.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, we got one from Gabby.
Gabby.
And she sent us a lovely email and said she wanted to leave a review, but she listens on Spotify, so she had to leave us an email review of 5 out of 5 stars.
That's great. Did she make sure to actually hit the 5-star button on Spotify? Did we clarify that?
I feel like she probably did.
Okay.
I'm going to assume she did.
All right.
So she's on a first watch. So she's on the Carmen side of the journey.
Hey-o.
She is further along. She is in season 10, but nice. she likes the both time views, the back and forth, the veteran and the new watch views. So, yeah.
I love that. Also, I just looked at Spotify. We're at 99 reviews.
Thanks, guys.
So whoever
gets
that
up to the
100th. If you are waiting for a time to do your podcast 5 stars, now is the time. And we are at, let's see, on iTunes, we're at 49. Whoa, we have a new review.
On iTunes?
On iTunes.
Don't read it. What if it's a spoily?
Okay, hold on. No, it's good. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll read it when we're done.
Okay.
So was there another email that you had?
No, there's those two.
Oh, okay. This review from iTunes. Oh, you know what? I didn't listen to the song.
Oh, that's all right.
I'll do a quick Google search.
You know it.
Do I?
It's the theme song from MASH. Na, na,
na, na, na, na, okay, you're right. I'll look it up a little bit. While you're talking about some stats, I'll do a quick Google search. But, all right. SRB3788 left a review, 5 stars, titled My New Favorite.
Heyo!
I absolutely love this pod. The hosts just feel like your friends, and we're all reliving this crazy show together. It's so fun listening to someone experience it for the first time. The banter between Kelsey and Carmen is infectious. Have had many laugh out loud moments when listening. Highly recommend.
Thank
Exclamation
you.
Point.
That's so kind.
Ugh, so kind. So sweet.
Two things that I always love. When people say that they feel like they're just chatting with friends about it when they mm-hmm. listen, which is mm-hmm. amazing. And when people spell my name right. I don't mind. Like, I don't really care when people spell it wrong. But to me, it's like an extra sign of like, oh, thank you so much.
They clearly have done a little bit of research and love us.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I got. Should we
take
another 35 minutes of just talking and catching up? Because we haven't caught up all weekend.
Yeah, it's been so long since we've spoken, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took a little snooze while Kelsey was finishing packing up. So
repacking my bag.
Yes. All right. Let's do this.
Okay, this is episode 18 of the 6th season. It is episode 120 overall, which means it's been 20 episodes since Izzy and Alex got married. And technically since Meredith and Derek got married. Because that wasn't the same episode.
Wasn't it right before, right after?
Yeah, they got married in the finale. Derek and Meredith got married in the finale. Izzy and Alex got married in the 100th episode.
Yes.
Yes. So it's been 20 episodes since the Izzy and Alex wedding.
Crazy. And Izzy is nowhere to be found.
And George is dead.
George was at the wedding. Yes, George was at the wedding.
Yeah, he walked Izzy
down.
Yes,
I didn't think about that. I forgot. That's how much time doesn't even feel real in this
TV
show.
How much changes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Do you need me to skip the song bit?
No, I got it. I got it pulled up here. I just have a couple of quick stats.
Okay, the title of the song and episode is Suicide is Painless.
And that is a song. It's also considered the song from MASH.
Yeah.
So written by Johnny Mandel and Michael Altman.
Teddy?
Altman. Whoa. Released in 1970. And the charting for this one, it's very interesting. So it did chart as a single in the UK and Ireland reaching number one.
Wow.
Which for a TV show feels kind of crazy to me, but I'm sure it wasn't
some songs are.
Right.
So my question is, I wonder if it was written to be the theme song for MASH or if it predated the show.
It was. Yes. Yes, it was. So the song was written for the actor playing Private Sideman during the Painless Pole episode or the Last Supper scene. So it was made for that. And then they ended up keeping it for the show.
It's catchy. I sing it a lot.
Yeah. But it also reached the Dutch also loved it. Reached number four in the Dutch charts, number 52 in Australia. 52 in Australia. So, yeah, it did pretty well. I would need to go back and actually listen to the song myself. Yeah. But,
so you don't like my rendition?
Yeah, no, it was okay. It was fine. I'd give it a 1 out of 5 stars.
Okay. Speaking of music, though, we did spend a lot of time revisiting our emo roots.
Yes.
And I shared with Carmen many of the emo songs that I vibed to in high school.
Which, by the way, I'll the whole way to the airport, we'll have to listen to some music, but
yeah, for sure.
I'll have to play you a couple of songs off the new Blink-182 album for you to hear for the first time. Some of them are bops, but it's weird because you ever have those albums where it's like one of your favorite artists and you listen to it and you're like, ugh, it's just okay. And then like by the fourth listen, you're like, oh man, why was there so much hate for this?
Yeah.
I feel like Taylor Swift got a lot of that for some of those albums.
Well, and I think it also there are artists where their career, sometimes people want every album to sound just like same thing, different font.
Right.
And sometimes that's fine. But when you have artists, especially when someone like Taylor Swift or Miley Cyrus, where they kind of jump genres, like it's going to be like a variation. And that's fine because that person is talented enough to do that, both things or multiple things, then like let them express their artistry. I don't think fans should hold an artist back just because they have expectations.
Right.
But by the same token, like as a fan, you can choose what is your favorite and what you want to consume.
Right. Well, it's just like too, when we were in London and remember when, so in London, we got a Taylor Swift and an Angels and Airwaves single dropped in that vacation alone.
I do not remember. I remember the Angels and Airwaves one, but I don't remember the Taylor one.
We were actually in Rome. It was the Brendan Urie song.
Oh,
that
one
dropped while we were in Rome. Because I remember overlooking the Vatican, listening to it in bed. And then in London, I listened to Rebel Girl. But I was disappointed about that song. But then Life Forms, that album by Angels and Airwaves, is like probably one of my top 2 or 3 albums.
Didn't you also buy tickets to a concert when we were in London?
I bought tickets to see Angels and Airwaves at the Shakespeare Globe.
Yeah, I remember. And Michael like fell asleep in that Starbucks. Or like while we were waiting. Because we went in there to be on Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's right.
And because it was a little chilly.
Yeah.
And Michael like fell asleep at the counter. So
yes.
Because it was the end of the trip.
Goodness. We should do that again just to fall asleep in another Starbucks.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, music is great. Music is awesome. But that was fun. It was like going through Dashboard Confessional and Jack's Mannequin. And what was the other one?
Something Corporate.
Lucky Boys Confusion, if you guys have not heard of them, they're a local Chicago pop punk band that had their moments of fame. And then what was the other one? Starting Line.
Oh yeah.
We disagreed on Yellow Card, I think, but that's
okay. I was just surprised. I mean, I don't live and die by them. They weren't on my I was just surprised that you didn't love them that much.
They were just, I mean, I just thought Ocean Avenue specifically was a bit overrated.
Also, I introduced Carmen to a song that is in no way the punk pop genre. That is so good, called If I Were a Fish. And if you've like ever been on TikTok, you
so
probably know
good.
It. But I love it. It's such a bop. And so I was singing it because I sing it all, like it's constantly stuck in my head. Like I truly sing it out of nowhere all the time. And I think Carmen at first thought I was making it up. And then I think he thought it was a children's song. And then I was just like, no, it's just a bop.
And it really is. I listened to it like 7 times in the drive back
today.
It's
so good.
And what I like about it is it's like, it's positive, but not cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But like when they're like, how lucky are we that you're the youest of you
I
and
know.
I'm the meest of me.
That's
I'm like,
so
fuck,
cute.
So good.
And it's true.
It's so true.
So shout out. It's, and the artist on that is Karuk.
Yes.
So if you just type in If I Were a Fish, if you haven't already heard it.
Yeah.
But you'd probably recognize it. Again, if you're on TikTok, you've probably heard it and you would recognize it. But yeah. It's so good. It's such a cute little feel good song. But yeah, that's music.
And that's going to make it on. That's what I call music 47.
Okay.
Are you still making those?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And all also right. Kid Bop. Kids Bop.
No, oh,
which we don't need.
Yeah, we don't need that. It's fine. All right. Let's talk about this episode.
Okay. Written by Tony Phelan and Joan Rader. Seen many times before.
Yep.
Directed by Jean-Wa Schwank, who we've also seen before because I remember that name. Aired March 25th. 2010 to 11.57 million views.
Wait, it's March 25th right this second.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. Wild. And it was, there was a 1 week break because our last week's episode aired March 11th. So for some reason there was like a week break. I don't know if it was like
writer's strike,
March madness or just like, they were like, oh, it's 1 week off or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. So yes. And I believe March 27th was the original air date for the pilot.
Yeah, something
like that.
So
we'll probably put our pilot rewatch on Patreon on the 27th to celebrate that.
Yeah, that's smart.
Smart. That will be out by the time this episode comes out. So this Netflix synopsis first is, when Teddy's patient seeks to end treatment and her life, she turns to Hunt for help. Medium.
That's one part of it.
She turns to Hunt for help and then shit really hits the fan.
Yeah.
Let's see if Hulu did a better job. I'm going to be honest. I think they did.
Also, while you're pulling that up, when I had to go watch this, I had to pull back from the pilot.
I actually, when I went to pull it up, I checked around like just the screen grabs mostly because I know you can kind of like not read. I know you can't read.
I know you can
avoid the reading, but I checked because when I pulled it up, I checked this because I knew you were going to have to do that. Yeah. So I checked the surrounding ones for spoilies and I was like, okay, it looks safe.
I did a good job of not letting my adult eyes ADHD wander. Kind of like, ooh, what's that?
ooh, piece of candy.
Ooh, shiny object. Squirrel.
Ooh, spoily.
So I made sure to not look into that, but I was very nervous. I was like being very careful.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what Hulu has to say. A patient's desire to end her life triggers haunting memories for Hunt. Semicolon. Arizona and Callie have different opinions about the future. Semicolon. Richard tries to adjust to his new role. Honestly, Hulu knocked this one out of the park.
So good.
Netflix, like,
no spoilers.
What the fuck?
And yeah. They covered pretty much all the main...
Yeah, Hulu really, really crushed this one.
Sheesh. Netflix, step up your game.
Yeah, it's shocking. Like, whoever's doing this at Hulu actually likes this show.
Yes.
And has watched it.
Yes.
Whoever's at Netflix is like first 5 minutes. And then I'm out.
All I got. That's all I got.
All right. Well, we can get into it. Let me just say the good Derek episode streak ended. So
yeah.
Maxed out at two.
Yeah. It actually kind of started okay. Like, in that scene where I was actually on Derek's side for a moment when Meredith comes up and is like, hey, I'm going to interrupt you during your meeting to tell you that I'm getting to do a surgery. And he's like,
you were on his side
for that. When he's like, that's it. You could have told me this later. From that moment on where he made all of the subsequent shitty comments, I was for sure like, Derek, you're just being a piece of shit.
No, in that meeting, so I feel like he could have been like, okay, we can talk, like, I'm excited to hear about it later. And then in later on be like, hey, I'm like glad you were excited about this, but in the future, can you not interrupt meetings to tell me that?
However,
when Meredith just comes around the door and he just immediately gets up and goes to her, that makes it feel to me like it's established that he doesn't care if she comes in and interrupts anything. Also, that was just like a budget meeting. It wasn't a life or death. It wasn't Jennings.
The budget is life and
like,
death.
But it wasn't, it didn't seem pressing. It just seemed like annoying budgetary things.
Yeah.
And the vibe it was to me was that it wasn't the first time that she had interrupted to tell him something.
That's fair.
He seemed annoyed by probably whatever the meeting was. He's clearly annoyed. He tells Richard later that he's not getting to do surgery anymore.
Right.
And so her being excited about surgery is probably triggering that in him to be annoyed more. Like, there's just many, many annoyances that she caught the brunt of.
Yeah. Also, so let's just talk about this then. Let's talk about this first. This seems to be, we also should pause and say Hunt gets the voiceovers.
Yes.
So this is a very Hunt focused episode, mm-hmm. but this small storyline with Derek, it's interesting because we get 30 seconds of April and it's just her ripping this fucking, the scans out of Meredith's hands.
Yeah. And then later on talking like for Derek to Meredith.
And she even says, stop talking.
Yeah. She's like, be quiet. Are you even a doctor? Like, you're literally just being.
Yeah. It is funny. But also, Derek does have that moment when Meredith comes and interrupts him. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing the surgery with Shadow Shepherd. And he's like, Dr. Nelson. She's like, yeah,
Shadow Shepherd, whatever. Which Derek is right in that moment. But Meredith is more relatable to me.
Yeah, that's
she's
fair.
Like, don't fucking correct me. I said what I said.
Yeah. He is Shadow Shepherd. So, and then, when he's like, that's it. And he just goes back to his meeting. I'm like, well, yeah. Could he have been more empathetic? Yes. But I do think that in that moment, I'm like, yeah, Derek kind of has a point. But when they're looking at the tumor together and Dr. Nelson is like, and then when Meredith is like, and that's when you'll resect the tumor. And he's like, that's when you'll resect the tumor. Yeah. And they have kind of like a cute moment.
Yeah.
And it's clear that she's excited about neuro.
Yeah.
So that was a sweet moment. And then April just comes in and is like, yeah, Dr. or Chief Shepherd needs these now.
She's so annoying.
Yeah. You should have kept her fired.
Yeah, that would have been okay with me. I'm going to be honest with you.
We could have had Olivia back, but instead we have April. Mm.
The worst of the two redheads.
Yes. Is she a redhead?
April?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she's more of a brunette.
No, it's redhead for sure. I mean, it's no one's Addison redhead, but.
Well, right. Yeah, that's totally different. And no one's better than that redhead.
Right.
So after that, I'm trying to think what else happens. So that's when there's obviously a lot that takes place in between these, but so Derek goes and steals the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Meredith yells about it.
And she makes a scene.
Good for her.
I don't love it from a professional standpoint, right. But I love it as a person. I'm like,
we have
yes.
to remember that in the walls of this hospital, no one is professional.
Correct.
So there are no rules.
Correct.
There
Not
is
even
only
Weber is professional
drama,
anymore.
There is only screaming. There is only gossip. There is only sex.
Yes.
No professional. Nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
There's no HR. So clearly, why not just yell?
Yeah.
Now, I think Meredith doesn't separate Derek from Chief from husband.
Yes.
And to me, there are times, again, in the real world, that's a problem. But in moments like this, I'm like, good for you. You shouldn't just let him walk all over you solely because he's the chief, solely because you're in this relationship with him. Like, that to me makes it all the more right for you to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
So, yes, the reality is of it is don't do that. But in this moment, I'm like, do it worse. Do it more.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Throw
kind of,
something at him.
Yeah, it's interesting. The blending of all of the personalities and the dynamics and all of that. But when he's like, I need you to just calm down. Everyone's looking. Yeah. And that's when she's like, he stole my surgery. Ah!
He did. He did do that.
He did do it. but I really hated April in that moment.
Yeah. It was, she kept being like, Chief Shepherd is good at this. Chief Shepherd doesn't think that Dr. Nelson, Chief Shepherd needs a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Derek can just speak.
Yeah. That's really what it is for me, is that she's trying to speak for him to his wife.
Yeah.
Imagine if you like had a secretary who was like, Carmen can't like respond to your text messages. But Jessica's right there, and so are you.
I would be like, ma'am, nobody speaks for Carmen except for Carmen.
And maybe Jessica. So that person you're talking to would be the only other person that could maybe say these things.
Yes. So I like that. They had a lot of scenes in this episode where they cut to everyone around.
Yes.
And it's like,
lots of staring.
Look at how awkward you've made everyone. Look at how awkward the
cafeteria
is.
Look at how much of
now.
A scene this was.
Also, so if you have not gone and gotten onto Patreon, the episode that we will have coming out, rewatching the first season, episode
completely
one.
Different place.
It's a totally different hospital.
Like, and nothing
now it's
looks
in
the
my
same.
Head. Now yeah. I'm trying to look for it.
Yeah.
But the cafeteria for sure is
the
different.
The cafeteria was one of the big ones. Like, the only thing that looked the same was that catwalk.
Yeah.
Well, and the little hallway where the
hallway
the interns
dungeon.
Are.
Yeah.
But, like, everything else, we're like, that's not the same place.
Remember when they did underground surgery on that one girl?
Sadie.
Oh, sorry. Just tapped the microphone. And then...
Well, Derek gets in the middle of the Owen and Teddy thing, which we'll get into that more later.
Yes.
But Derek has, like, that little moment with Owen where he's like, you need to, like, take... Which that moment was a good call when he's like, I think you need to leave because you're clearly not where you need to be.
Yeah.
Both emotionally and job-wise. So why don't you leave? And Owen was like, no, I haven't. He was like, no. It's time to leave.
Well, it was on the heels of he was just saying, I'm
siding with Teddy. And Sloan signed off.
Right. But he was, what is Hunt saying? I won't let him kill himself, or I won't let him
die.
Oh,
yeah. I won't
let you kill him.
Yeah.
I won't let you kill
him. And Derek's like, that patient's a woman.
And you need to go the fuck home.
And yeah, so I will say that's a positive moment for Derek. Like, he's definitely being aware and sensing that there's more to this than he knows.
Yeah.
And trying to remove Owen from this situation that is clearly, like, triggering him. Even though Derek doesn't have the details on everything, he does seem to pick up on the important part.
Yeah. But it is interesting because Derek is clearly going through the hardships of transitioning and mm-hmm. the jobs.
Yeah.
Weber has a couple of good scenes. We'll get to the second one in a minute here. But when he's talking to Weber upstairs, he's like, have you even eaten lunch, Derek? And he's like, well, I can't go to the cafeteria because all these vultures
like,
fucking
harass
me.
Yeah. And that's when Owen comes up and is like, hey, I need to talk to you. And Derek's like, see,
which like, that's the job, Derek.
Yeah. That you wanted it.
Yeah. And but, Weber kind of gives him a smirk. He's like, suck it.
Yeah. I mean, I did really like the scene with Richard and Derek at the end.
Yes.
When Derek goes back in his office and Richard is waiting for him and Richard gives him the advice.
Yeah.
He's like, you miss surgery. You miss the pace of surgery. Like, here's what you need to do. You need to schedule yourself a surgery every morning, something like quick, easy, so you can start your day cutting. Do it early, no one will bother you. You don't even have to do the paperwork because Patricia can just forge your signature on everything.
Yeah.
Which feels questionable, but yeah. Do whatever, I guess.
Good advice, bad motive.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Which, when was the last time we even saw Patricia?
I know.
It's been a
I literally
long
was
time.
Like, how dare you reference her without showing her to me?
Yeah. Does she get acting credits for this response?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to have to do this because I do feel like I need to refer to the Kate Middleton situation, because since I have been here, they announced that, well, they released a video that she does where she said she was diagnosed with a form of cancer. Clearly, I have been talking about this on the podcast a lot, and I have also continued to talk about it a lot. First of all, that is horrible. And I am like very hopeful that she's in a good situation where she can seek like basically the best treatment in the world.
Yeah.
And from what I can suss out around it, it seems like they maybe caught it pretty early. So like, obviously they haven't given details and they're not obligated to. So I think I'm just hopeful that it works out well for her. I really think the institution of the royal family failed her in so many ways, because for them to know that was what, because those people knew, obviously, like the people in the royal family obviously knew, for them to know and still fucking pin that picture thing on her, which A, I still don't think she did.
No.
And B, for them to use her as a scapegoat for it is so shitty. Like, that was just like
absolutely
the utmost failing in every way. Anyways, so I did need to address that because I've been addressing it so much.
Yeah.
Prior to right now.
And also shout out to not only the Patreon fans that we have on with Discord, but like also Instagram and all the other like parts of the community, the folks that we've built up, because that was definitely one thing where like a lot of people knew from this podcast alone how invested Kelsey was.
Yeah.
So you got
so
a lot
many
of
people
messages.
Reached out about it.
Yeah. Our Discord was blowing up about it. Like, Kelsey, have you seen this? And we're like, yes, we have seen it. This is crazy.
And yeah, we talked a lot about, like, I mean, I continued to have that conversation basically saying what I just said with several people who had messaged us just about like the failings. Like how all the way that they failed her, which is there was just really no excuse. Like you have, they had every like tool at their disposal to protect her and do right by her. And they just really didn't. And that's fucked up.
Truly.
And clearly they're going through it because for her and the king to both have diagnoses like that around the same time is obviously going to be a lot. And I don't mean to say that they needed to force, like they didn't need to make an announcement. Like the second she had that diagnosis, that is not what I mean to say. And I also don't believe that to be true because she and William are not currently on the throne. They don't have a quote unquote obligation to the public the way like the king and Camilla do, because that's currently the rulers, because they are just like next in line. I don't think they have the same like responsibility to the public that the current king and queen do.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to say that as soon as they had the diagnosis, they should have said that. I just think the castle, the crown in general could have done more to protect her peace surrounding finding that out and like processing it with her family. And I just don't think they made any effort to do that. Elizabeth would have handled it way better.
Oh, absolutely.
And Charles sucks. And that's the moral of the story.
What we're trying to say is Charles is trash.
Charles is trash.
Yeah. He is not in charge.
Nope.
Yeah. So let's just finish this up and then we'll do
a
quick message.
I had to go out. I needed to say that while I was thinking about it.
This is our platform. We could say whatever we want.
So true.
For instance, no, I'm kidding. we've been throwing a lot of International Women's Month stuff around this house all weekend.
That's so true. I've been saying that all month to anyone who annoys me.
So we get this scene with Weber, obviously, which is very sweet at the end. And he's like you said, he's talking about scheduling the surgery, have Patricia help you. And then he's like, if you want to go to lunch, the trick is to not be alone.
Yeah.
It's like you could sit with me.
Yeah. He's like, we can eat together.
We can eat together. And I don't think that Weber would have gotten to that point if it wasn't for Mark coming on later. Because it's true. Weber wants to now not have the title of chief and be like one of everyone.
One of the dudes, and one of the rows.
And you just can't.
Yeah. It's a hard transition.
So the fact that Weber's like, you are chief and I was chief for so long. I get that we're in a different kind of bubble and we need to kind of have each other's backs. So like, let's just.
Also because they had a mentorship prior to all of this, I think it falls in line for them to be able to pick that back up. Obviously it's difficult because of the way that like it all went down with Derek getting the job. But if they can move past that, then obviously Richard is like going to be a really, really incredible, like asset for Derek growing into this role.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There is one other scene with Weber that I want to specifically call out, which we'll get to after a quick message from these regional sponsors.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back. Thank you. Thank you, sponsors. Hopefully your capitalist message was received well by
we
all.
We had multiple people in the Discord talking about how they're getting regional sponsorship messages in French, which is funny because there are parts when I am on certain sides of, like when I'm closer to Georgia at home, I get a lot of it in Spanish because there's a really large Hispanic population like right over the border. And it's interesting to me, like anytime I'm over there, I do all of my regional sponsorship messages are in Spanish. And I find
interesting because we have so many Canadian listeners and so many UK international listeners as well. So it's not unheard of. So the scene with Weber in particular, I didn't really feel it was uncomfortable when he walked up to Alex and Charles
right.
and Jackson and Mark, and they're talking about Nicole mm-hmm. and her butt, which it was like, it was an okay butt. I guess you really can't show too much.
Yeah, I think they were trying not to harp on it because it's like, okay, that's now it feels awkward for all of us.
Yeah. And then later on in the scene, later on in the episode, when he's doing surgery and he tells the nurse or the doctor to do something, he's like, if I wasn't happily married, which are you? Is Adele even around? Yeah. I thought Adele left him.
Yeah, it's unclear. So, I mean, I guess it's not unclear now.
Yeah.
How we got here is unclear.
Yes. They've reconciled. But he goes, if I wasn't a happily married man, I'd hit her and I'd hit her hard.
That's so uncomfortable. And Jackson's like, Alex says, think you meant to say this. And Bailey's like, I don't think you meant to say anything.
Yeah. Gosh, I love her so much.
Even like with just the mask on, you can see how much she's fucking glaring at him.
Yes. Oh, it's too funny.
Also, okay, we have to wrap up the Derek storyline with a very important acknowledgement.
It's true. And I'm very excited for you to walk us through that.
That
scene.
Man walks into room with Meredith at home. And the first thing he does is say the words, I'm sorry. And
music
I
to my ears.
Loved it. I was like, wow, that's good for him. Like nothing else. Like no excuses. Just like he knows what he did was shitty.
He didn't say, I want to say I'm sorry.
He's not saying,
he didn't say,
this
I apologize.
Is me saying sorry.
Yeah.
He literally just said, I'm sorry. And wow. Good, like, claps for Derek.
Yeah.
You
he
fucking
had a
be.
Full range of...
He went through it.
Arc in yeah. this in this episode. In really a very short amount of time.
Yeah, because he wasn't in it that much. But when he was in it, he was learning a lot.
Every scene was growth.
He was experiencing... Snap, snap, snap.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And then Meredith, which we should also circle back to with
yeah.
Jackson. Jackson is like, dude, just be a who. And Meredith is like, what the fuck?
What is
wrong
with you?
Are you having a stroke? What are you saying? And he's like, nah, dude, when the Grinch tried to steal Christmas, the Who sang down in Whoville. Be a who, Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, sing Cindy Lou.
Yeah, which I thought was a great scene.
It was
very
cute.
Quick. Jackson's kind of being like the emotional support, like here
yeah,
and there.
He's a cutie pootie.
Yeah, so I like him. He go back and listen to the receipts. He has been my favorite of the yeah. other hospital Mercy West
yeah.
people since the beginning.
He's also been stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. No Reed in this episode.
No, but we did get Charles and April.
And April. So, yeah, so that kind of inspires her. I wish all arguments that Jessica and I had, I just said, I'm sorry. And Jessica was like, I'm in Whoville. I'm good. That made my life so much easier.
I don't know that it would.
Not that I'm ever wrong.
You would still have to get to the I'm sorry, which takes a long time sometimes.
I say I'm sorry every time I'm wrong.
That's not correct. You say you're sorry every time you think that you're wrong.
Which is when I'm wrong.
It's different. Very, very different ratios.
Well, no. It's a 1-to-1 ratio.
It's a 700-to-1 ratio.
Because I'm so apologetic.
Because you never apologize.
Kelsey, I
wrong.
Want to apologize
you
to
don't.
You.
You don't.
Anything else with this specific storyline?
I don't think so.
Also, I'm recognizing that to get you to the airport, we're like a little bit on time crunch, so we can do this. We got this. We're
yeah.
good.
What's the time right now? Like the time stamp, not the time of day.
Just under 40 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're fine.
Yes,
we're
good. It's tight, tight. We hate to break the fourth wall here, but we are sitting in a room across from each other planning to get her to the airport back to Chattanooga.
In like an hour.
Yeah.
That's so fine. We can do it.
We got this.
We're doing great.
What storyline do you want to tackle next for
this
episode?
I think we could do... We're at 40.
Yeah.
I think we could do... Cali in Arizona.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, cool.
Tough conversation. Yeah. I thought they were gonna break up in this episode.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. They have not talked about this since last episode.
Yeah.
What was your take on that?
Arizona is clueless.
So clueless. Absolutely
she has
clueless.
No idea.
I feel bad a little bit.
Yeah. I feel bad for both of them. But it's kind of, to me, I'm like, again, I think we said last episode, how has it taken you this long to have this conversation? But I just think that it's, and obviously Callie keeps whispering with Mark. And so Arizona is like, are you guys, like, what is wrong? What are you doing? Are you having an affair? Like, what is happening?
It is funny that her first thing is like, when Callie goes to have that conversation with Arizona, she's like, you're one of those fake lesbians. And I'm like,
we've leaped.
Yeah.
We've leaped.
Like, I don't know if you can, well, I guess you can act if you really want to act, but like, they've been pretty intimate for a very long time.
Yeah.
It would be tough to fake it that long.
Yeah.
But I guess there's people
I know. My thing is, I'm like,
Cyrus Bean.
What would be the, like, the benefit to faking that?
Right. So
Callie is like, a lot of back and forth, and Mark keeps being like, you have to tell her. Like, you're just going to drag it out and then have a huge regret later on in life, one way or the other. Sorry, I'm just eating a candy.
No, it's great. I should get some watermelon Sour Patch Kids here too.
So basically Callie has these patients. These three middle-aged men who are actually very precious to me. I think
Nick,
they're
Phil and Tommy, right?
So cute. They're just like precious little puppy dog men. And they
doing the craziest shit. Yeah. The craziest fucking shit.
Like, if you saw the three of them like walking down the street, you would be like, those men are accountants. They don't even go to the gym. They just like sit around and play chess or something. And once a year they say they go on these big adventures to like keep their blood pumping or whatever. It's like adrenaline chasing, but only once a year. And so this year it was jumping out of a helicopter to ski, which is a thing that people do.
Yes. But not on my list.
No, never. I don't need to jump out of any like sky vehicle or really any moving vehicle. I don't need to jump out of. And so
I would go skydiving.
I know. I would not. And I think these people are crazy. Anyway, so they jump out. The first two jump out. And an avalanche starts like at the same time. So that's how they end up being very, very injured. However, Frostbite, they're actually pretty relatively bones. Lucky. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick has the worst of it. He has like it was more than a broken leg.
It was a compound fracture.
Yeah.
It was
and
through
then
the skin.
They both had some frostbite on their fingers. And then Tommy was fine, basically.
Because he watched. The avalanche started right before.
It wasn't enough time for them to be like, we can't let you jump.
Yeah. Can I also just pause for a minute? Mm-hmm. I am terrified of avalanches.
Yeah.
In my elementary school library, mm-hmm. I don't know how I checked this book out as a child, but there was a book where it showed pictures of dead people underneath. They were frozen in avalanche aftermath.
What book was this?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
But it was, it was like straight up. There were corpses that had been frozen. And you can't find these people. You don't. The snow doesn't melt.
No.
It just stays there forever. So, there was a page where it was this frozen body underneath and the avalanche had fallen on it.
That's a bummer.
And I don't, because snow also is heavy. Like,
do you know what you're supposed to do if you are caught in an avalanche?
No.
You swim. Like, you're in a pool. If you were like on it where it's going down the side of a mountain and you are also going down, you're supposed to swim like freestyle.
Really?
Like you are swimming with water. Yeah.
I did not know that.
That is the survival. Yeah.
Wow.
Just so you know.
That's good to know. I would never have known that. I don't think I would have ever Googled it.
I hope you don't ever need it.
I hope not. But what if one day you and I are on a Gray's sponsored
ski trip?
Yeah. Where they say,
I don't ski.
You are. I don't either.
I have tried. It went poorly. I won't do it again.
The closest I ever got to skiing was strapping two skis to a fold up chair and then going down a hill on the chair.
Why would you do that?
Because
and when and where
it was on some Boy Scout trip way
back
like in
the
day.
You had to be like 14.
Yeah, that was 14-year-old Carmen was a daredevil. Not 32-year-old Carmen. 32-year-old Carmen is like, I don't even want someone to hold on to one of my fingers.
We filmed this week, I had to smack Carmen's hand, and he was like afraid I was going to injure his hand.
It's my guitar playing hand.
To the point where he wouldn't be able to play guitar anymore. So he kept reflexively like not letting me do it.
But I was letting it did work out.
We made it work. Yeah. We got there eventually. But yeah. I also kept instinctively doing it in slow motion because I was afraid that I was going to hurt him, which is unrealistic. Because
I think
you were more afraid
of hurting my phone, and I was like, fuck.
I was afraid of hurting the phone, but I was also afraid of accidentally smacking your hand into your face, which would have been really funny, but I would have felt bad.
It would have been on camera, so it would have been worth it.
It would have been good content.
So, anyways. Arizona thinks that Callie's upset because she's working so hard to build
the cartilage
from the ground up, which is stressful.
Yeah.
But also it's a philosophical difference of their relationships.
Yeah. So Callie finds out that Tommy doesn't actually want to do all of these adventure things and he hates it. He just does it for the other boys. And Callie finally is like, you have to tell them or like, you have to stand up for what you actually want to do or don't want to do. And she finally...
Well, it turns out he doesn't want to do it because he has a kid. That was one of the big reasons.
Well, and also I don't think he wants to do it.
It's yeah.
Both reasons. Like, he doesn't want to have a compound fracture and frostbites and I'll try and raise a child.
Yes.
So then Callie, like, breaks that, like, secret. And she's like, he hates it. He only does it for you guys. And they're all in the same boat. They're like, wait, I hate it and only do it for you guys. No, I only do it for you guys. And they're like,
I just wanted to go to Napa.
Never!
I very much relate to these three men.
Yeah, it was funny.
I would do the stupid shit with my friends, but I would be mad about it the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would talk anyone out of it. Unless there was like pain, like actual bodily injury. I wouldn't do the bodily injury stuff.
Yeah.
But.
So the year before they had climbed Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
And the year after they were planning to run with the bulls, which I would never run with the bulls.
Yeah, that's.
Like, I'm not fast. I like to stop. And that the bulls like to run over people who stop. So.
Yeah.
I would never.
Yeah. The Kilimanjaro thing
would be cool. I wouldn't like to climb it, but I would like to go there and do other things in the vicinity of it.
But why go to Kilimanjaro Mountain when you can go to Kilimanjaro Safari?
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by the Kilimanjaro Safari and the baobab trees.
The very real baobab trees.
The very real and the very real ant hills.
The very, very real
termite hills.
Ostrich eggs.
Yes. So, yeah, that's a cute scene. I really like them, those guys. We'll get more into them, I think, in just a little bit here. But it is interesting how Mark has become, again, this sense of reason. And it starts with, he's like, you know, I've grown so much.
Yeah.
I went on 3 dates with Teddy, and we haven't even fucked.
He's like, I know so much about her. Like, I've just learned about who she is as a person. Did you know you could do that? And they're like, yeah, dude. Yes.
But it is interesting that he feels like I've learned so much with her on 3 dates and Callie's like, we've been together for like forever.
Yeah.
And we don't even know about kids. Like this seems unrealistic. That's one of the first conversations I think people have.
It does make sense to me that she would just assume that Arizona wanted kids because she's in peds. But it also makes sense that because she's in peds, she doesn't want kids.
I lean more that way.
Yeah.
I feel like in a lot of TV shows, people who work in peds actively don't want kids.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. So we get that lunch table scene.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Very funny.
Partly because Teddy just lights up Hunt.
Yeah.
But... yeah, there's this whispering back and forth, and Mark's like, tell her. And Kel's like, shut the fuck up. And Arizona's like, what
are you doing?
What
is
guys?
Wrong with you two?
Come on.
And then also how Richard comes up and just stands there and no one asks him to sit down. That made
me sad. I hated that.
It made me so sad.
Also, just fucking sit down.
Yeah, that too.
I just walked up and sat down. Like, oh, hey, guys.
Well, yeah, you would. But Richard is in a very self-conscious mode right now.
Yeah. But he's in a happily committed relationship.
I did love the scene later on where Mark finds him eating alone in the conference room.
Yeah.
And two things. I love what Mark said to him. And it's like, it's a sign of respect. Like, I know you're not the chief now, but like, we will always see you that way. And like you shouldn't take it as anything other than a sign of respect. But also he comes in by being like, you will never guess what just happened. Continuing the characteristic of him being a huge gossip, which I love. It's so funny.
It's funny you say that now. And as you started to say it, it clicked. I forgot.
Yeah.
About the gossip part.
It's so funny to
because me. There was at one point where he's like, oh, I never gossip. And they're like, we're like, Mark, you are the biggest gossip.
They're like, you're a terrible gossip. He goes, I'm a great gossip. Which is how I feel. I'm a better woman than you. I'm an excellent gossip.
Yeah, no, that was sweet. And Weber was like, okay, I mean, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
No one wanted me to sit with them.
Yeah, no one talks to me. Everyone stops talking when I get there. Which is why he tries to say later on, like, I'd hit her. Which yeah. is unfortunate.
Yeah. But it is interesting when he's when the analogy Mark uses is you don't talk locker room talk in front of the coach.
Yeah.
And to be clear, there's a lot of
locker room talk that is not great and is used as an excuse for a lot of things.
Yes. Grab her by the pussy, anyone?
Okay.
But even like when I reflect back on locker room talk, quote unquote,
yeah,
with my friends, I don't think it ever got so far as like, oh, yeah, like I'd fuck her. Like, oh, yeah, I'd hit it. It was more like, dang, she's hot as fuck. Or like, look at them titties. It was never like the things that I want to do to a girl.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I feel like there's a difference between
I believe you. It's not relatable to me and my experience, but I am sure there are many people
I was respectful with my locker room talk. If everyone was saying that girl is hot as fuck, I'd say, oh, she is quite beautiful.
She's quite stunningly gorgeous.
She looks so sophisticated.
That Addison Montgomery Shepherd.
Yes. But either way, it doesn't really make up for the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, no locker room talk in front of the coach. And it's easy to say that, but I don't know. I feel like he does believe it. I mean, I think Mark means it.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that's kind of also why Richard leans into being like, we should have lunch together, Derek, because he's in the same boat now. Like,
yeah.
So do you have anything to say about what you think for the future of Cali and Arizona?
Well, I think they're still going to break up.
Okay.
But I'm less confident in it because I think the way that Cali phrased it, because she said, I want to have a baby. I want a child in my womb. I want this part of life. And
we don't see what Arizona's response is. We just see her stop holding Callie's hand.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think you shouldn't be in a relationship with the hopes of changing someone's mind.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. But I do feel like if anyone's going to have a rational conversation around what that really means and all of that, Arizona's the one who would do it. I don't want to talk. There's a line of a storyline that takes place in Suits that reminds me a lot of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk through it because the next podcast we do is Kelsey and I watching Suits together for the first time for her. So I'm not going to talk
about Psych.
Psych and Suits.
Simultaneously?
Yeah. And we're going to rewatch House.
Okay.
But that's for both of us. And yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Can you just tell me what happens?
Yeah, but I won't.
Oh. May you?
No.
But those are all the thoughts I have on that particular storyline.
Okay, well, should we call this one? And then we'll get into the other. I don't know that there's much more we can really say quickly. I think we'll have to get into the other storylines to unpack the Owen situation on its own.
Yeah. And then we can finish up our friends, Phil, Nick, and Tommy. Just any other thoughts you want to have with that. But yeah, a lot of Owen in the next episode.
Lots of Owen and probably some trigger warnings.
Yes. Ooh, good call. Didn't think about that. Yeah. All right. What should we do in next the next episode?
Well, we should probably start with everyone's favorite segment.